8. For reasons unfathomable to the most experienced prophets in Macomb County, autumn turned to winter that year. We had 2 weeks of the coldest weather since 1885, Attica said. Mr. Avery said it was written on the Rosetta Stone that when children disobeyed their parents, smoked cigarettes, and made war on each other, the seasons would change. Jim and I were burdened with the guilt of contributing to the aberrations of nature, thereby causing unhappiness to our neighbors and discomfort to ourselves. Old Mrs. Radley died that winter, but her death caused hardly a ripple. The neighborhood seldom saw her, except when she watered her cannas. Jim and I decided that Boo had got her at last, but when Atticus returned from the Radley house, he said she died of natural causes, to our disappointment. "Ask him," Jim whispered. "You ask him. You're the oldest. That's why you ought to ask him." "Atticus," I said, "did you see Mr. Arthur?" Atticus looked sternly around his newspaper at me. "I did not." Jim restrained me from further questions. He said Atticus was still touchy about us and the Radleys, and it wouldn't do to push him any. Jim had a notion that Atticus thought our activities that night last summer were not solely confined to strip poker. Jim had no firm basis for his idea. He said it was merely a twitch. Next morning I awoke, looked out the window, and nearly died of fright. My screams brought Atticus from his bathroom half-shaven. "The world's ending, Atticus! Please do something!" I dragged him to the window and pointed. "No, it's not," he said. "It's snowing." Jim asked Atticus would it keep up. Jim had never seen snow either, but he knew what it was. Atticus said he didn't know any more about snow than Jim did. "I think, though, if it's watery like that, it'll turn to rain." The telephone rang, and Atticus left the breakfast table to answer it. "That was Eula May," he said when he returned. I quote, "As it has not snowed in Macomb County since 1885, there will be no school today." Eula May was Macomb's leading telephone operator. She was entrusted with issuing public announcements, wedding invitations, setting off the fire siren, and giving first aid instructions when Dr. Reynolds was away. When Atticus finally called us to order and bade us look at our plates instead of out the windows, Jim asked, "How do you make a snowman?" "I haven't the slightest idea," said Atticus. "I don't want you all to be disappointed, but I doubt if there'll be enough snow for a snowball even." Calpurnia came in and said she thought it was sticking. When we ran to the backyard, it was covered with a feeble layer of soggy snow. "We shouldn't walk about in it," said Jim. "Look, every step you take's wasting it." I looked back at my mushy footprints. Jim said if we waited until it snowed some more, we could scrape it all up for a snowman. I stuck out my tongue and caught a fat flake. It burned. "Jim, it's hot." "No, it ain't. It's so cold it burns. Now don't eat it, Scout. You're wasting it. Let it come down." "But I want to walk in it." "I know what. We can go walk over at Miss Maudie's." Jim hopped across the front yard. I followed in his tracks. When we were on the sidewalk in front of Miss Maudie's, Mr. Avery accosted us. He had a pink face and a big stomach below his belt. "See what you've done," he said. "Hasn't snowed in Macomb since Appomattox. It's bad children like you makes the seasons change." I wondered if Mr. Avery knew how hopefully we had watched last summer for him to repeat his performance, and reflected that if this was our reward, there was something to say for sin. I did not wonder where Mr. Avery gathered his meteorological statistics. They came straight from the Rosetta Stone.
Jim Finch. You, Jim Finch.
Miss Maudie's calling you, Jim.
You all stay in the middle of the yard. There's some thrift buried under the snow near the porch. Don't step on it.
Yes, I'm called, Jim.
It's beautiful, ain't it, Miss Maudie? Beautiful, my hind foot. If it freezes tonight, it'll carry off all my azaleas.
Miss Maudie's old sun hat glistened with snow crystals. She was bending over some small bushes, wrapping them in burlap bags. Jim asked her what she was doing that for.
Keep 'em warm, she said. How can flowers keep warm? They don't circulate.
I cannot answer that question, Jim Finch. All I know is if it freezes tonight, these plants will freeze, so you cover 'em up. Is that clear?
Yes'm. Miss Maudie?
What, sir?
Could Scout and me borrow some of your snow? Heavens alive, take it all. There's an old peach basket under the house. Haul it off in that.
Miss Maudie's eyes narrowed. Jim Finch, what are you going to do with my snow?
You'll see, said Jim, and we transferred as much snow as we could from Miss Maudie's yard to ours, a slushy operation.
What are we going to do, Jim? I asked.
You'll see, he said. Now get the basket and haul all the snow you can rake up from the backyard to the front. Walk back in your tracks, though, he cautioned.
Are we going to have a snow baby, Jim?
No, a real snowman. Gotta work hard, now.
Jim ran to the backyard, produced the garden hoe, and began digging quickly behind the woodpile, placing any worms he found to one side. He went in the house, returned with the laundry hamper, filled it with earth, and carried it to the front yard. When we had 5 baskets of earth and 2 baskets of snow, Jim said we were ready to begin.
Don't you think this is kind of a mess? I asked.
Looks messy now, but it won't later, he said. Jim scooped up an armful of dirt, patted it into a mound on which he added another load and another until he had constructed a torso.
Jim, I ain't ever heard of a nigger snowman, I said.
He won't be black long, he grunted. Jim procured some peach tree switches from the backyard, platted them, and bent them into bones to be covered with dirt.
He looks like Miss Stephanie Crawford with her hands on her hips, I said, fat in the middle and little bitty arms.
I'll make 'em bigger. Jim sloshed water over the mud man and added more dirt. He looked thoughtfully at it for a moment. Then he molded a big stomach below the figure's waistline. Jim glanced at me, his eyes twinkling.
Mr. Avery's sort of shaped like a snowman, ain't he?
Jim scooped up some snow and began plastering it on. He permitted me to cover only the back, saving the public parts for himself. Gradually, Mr. Avery turned white. Using bits of wood for eyes, nose, mouth, and buttons, Jim succeeded in making Mr. Avery look cross. A stick of stove wood completed the picture. Jim stepped back and viewed his creation.
It's lovely, Jim, I said. Looks almost like he'd talk to you.
It is, ain't it? He said shyly.